fulfill what was said through Prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light. Whew. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." Father, we thank you. Thank you this morning for the gift of your word, the clarity of your word. It comes in simplicity so that no man, no tribe, no nation can have excuse. Yet at the same time, it comes carrying power because by the same word, the earth and the heavens were formed and everything thereof. Therefore, this morning as we interact with this word, we interact with this word in all its dimensions, simplicity, clarity, yet power. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen. Please do have your seats. You notice the Bible begins by telling us that there were a certain people of the tribe of Zebulun and Naphtali that were living in darkness. And upon the coming of Jesus Christ, the scriptures begin to tell us that this was the fulfillment of the words of the prophet of Isaiah, that a people that had previously lived in darkness were now coming into light. And from that time on, the Bible says from Matthew chapter 4, 17, that Jesus began to preach repentance for the kingdom of God had come. The most significant and urgent message for Jesus Christ was not the cross. But most people think that the greatest assignment for Jesus was the cross. But when you look at this scripture, the first words that come out of Jesus are about the kingdom of heaven. They're not about the cross, even though ultimately he would end up on the cross. They're not about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, even though that would happen. They're not about the raising of the dead, the miraculous signs of the healings. They were about the kingdom of God. And it was an urgent message, for Matthew opens up by saying, from that point on, he began to preach for the repentance of sins and the advancement of the kingdom. Why was it the most important message? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you that of all the things that God would have bestowed upon humankind, the kingdom was the greatest of all. That is why it was the most urgent. Indeed, when Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, he describes the kingdom as an inheritance. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. If you are there with me, move with me. He says, now read this with me. Then the king, come on, read with me. I like reading with the people that we are walking together so that I know we are together. Now, then the king will say to those, blessed of my father, take your, what is the inheritance? The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So the inheritance that God bestows upon us as believers is the kingdom, not the cross. So you have a blessed inheritance, and that is the kingdom. Now turn to your neighbor and tell them, by the way, my neighbor, did you know you have a portion? That is the kingdom. Now, I want you to understand that an inheritance is obtained after the death of someone. It is not obtained while the person is living. So therefore, the death of Jesus Christ was the only way to access the inheritance. But for Jesus, the message of the kingdom, which is your inheritance, was more important. His death was going to help you access your inheritance. So the greatest message of the Bible is not the death, is the inheritance of the kingdom. Because if you don't access this kingdom, you will live as children of God that don't have an inheritance. That an inheritance has your name on it, but you live like a pauper. Are you understanding me, friends? Amen. Now, you must also notice when we start in Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, 15 there, that he talks about the tribe of Zebulun and the tribe of Naphtali, tribes that were living in darkness until the coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen, and the establishment of the kingdom of God is what happens when there is an establishment of the kingdom is there is transformation. He says there was a people that were living in darkness until the coming of Jesus Christ. And when he ushers his kingdom, he says that there were a people that were in darkness, but when the kingdom comes, darkness flees and light comes in. Amen. All right, let me try it again. The kingdom of God is a transformative kingdom. Wow. Wherever the kingdom of God enters, there is change. Amen. Whenever the kingdom of God is established, there is change. Amen. Are you with me, friends? So for the people of Zebulun and Naphtali who had lived for years in darkness, light had come. A new dawn had come. A new hope had come. Are you with me? And you will understand how transformative it is because when Jesus began to preach about the kingdom, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. That word repent is the Greek word metanoia. It means changing of your mind. Because of the superior nature of this kingdom, you cannot retain the same mind that kept you in darkness. When the kingdom comes, there has to be a shift of the way you think, because light comes to replace darkness. And if you are in darkness and your mind only sees darkness, you cannot see light if your mind is still dark. Yeah. Are you with me, friends? So we must understand that the kingdom of God is a transformative kingdom, and therefore when we say that the kingdom of that we are advancing the kingdom of God, we are talking about change. We are talking about transformation. We are talking about bringing light where there has been darkness. But we are also talking about advancing a kingdom. We are not advancing a kingdom in void. There is another kingdom. Ah, let me try out on the other. You see, let me try out. You said your name was who? Kingdoms don't give space just like that, Godfrey. Anytime you say you are bringing your kingdom into this kingdom, you are declaring war. Amen. You must understand that the kingdom of God, when we talk about advancing the kingdom of God, the kingdoms that are going to be displaced will resist. Amen. They will resist. And so there's got to be engagement. Are you with me, friends? Are you with me, friends? So as a believer, you must understand, you're an ambassador of a spiritual kingdom. But when you're advancing your kingdom, you are displacing other spiritual kingdoms. And so there's got to be contention. Are you with me, friends? Now, you therefore must realize that God's intention for you and I as a believer, if we are going to advance him, because the kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. So that tells us that if you are a citizen of the kingdom, God does not expect you to wait for things to happen to you. You make things happen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Moya, there's a bit of faith here. There's a bit of faith here. As a believer, things don't happen to you. You make things happen. That is what it means by advancing the kingdom of God. That everywhere you show up, things happen because you are there. Things that have not been happening start happening. Darkness that was there is replaced by light because you are an agent and a carrier of light. You are the light of the world. And so everywhere you show up, light shows up and darkness has to flee. Are you understanding me, friends? Now turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, we are going to change Sheffield for the glory of God. I told you to open me to go for you start drinking my water. Praise God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So we are talking about the kingdom. Jesus is about to go. But he has raised kingdom agents. So he talks to them. And this is what he says to them. We are in this business of the kingdom. You realize from Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 up to Matthew chapter 16 verse 17, Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom. Then he asked the disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you look like Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Others say you are one of the prophets. Then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And something opens up immediately. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, Peter has just received the first downloads about the kingdom. And the scripture says, from that time on, he stopped preaching about the kingdom. Now he started teaching about the cross. Because they had already grasped about the kingdom. So now he was talking about how the kingdom is going to come. Now he dies and he is crucified and he rises up again. He comes to his disciples. And he has a conversation with his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, this is what it says. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not too many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were still struggling with the issue of the kingdom because they had been under the subjugation of Roman Empire for so long. And they thought Jesus was a political messiah who was coming to overthrow Rome for them and replace Rome. So you remember John's mother coming to say, by the way, when the kingdom comes, can you make sure my son is the prime minister and the other one is the vice chancellor? And say, that's not the kingdom I'm talking about. Are you understanding me, friends? So he says, so he says to them that it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father, are you reading with me? Which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the world. So notice what he says. For the advancement of this kingdom, there is something you have to receive. He says, don't go. Don't try to advance this kingdom until you have received it. Until you have received it, because you cannot advance it by might or by strength. It is advanced by power, and not power of ourselves, power from above. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So he says, you shall receive power. Somebody say power. Power. The agency through which the kingdom is advanced is power. Are you with me? So he says, stay put. You shall be, when you receive power, then you will be able to be witnesses of me. So, kingdom agents of advancement are witnesses. Witnesses give evidence towards the veracity and the truth of a matter. See, the problem is we have too many people in the church that are false witnesses or do not have credibility. You know, when you're in a court of law, the first thing the opposing lawyer tries to do is to destroy your credibility. Because you seem like you are not sure of what you are talking about. But when you are a real witness, you say, I was there. When it happened, I saw it. Are you understanding me? You are sure of what you are saying because you have seen it. You are there. You have first-hand information, not second-hand information. You have first-hand what?
Information.
So kingdom ambassadors are witnesses of Christ. Are you with me, friends? And that only happens with the enablement of power. Somebody say power.
Power.
Somebody say power like you mean it.
Power.
So when you read Luke chapter 10, verse 4. Where are we? We talked about, forgive me, I'm using somebody's iPad and it gets, I'm not. Now, So somebody say power. So the kingdom is propelled by power. The kingdom is about power for transformation. Indeed, when the Apostle Paul talks about the message of the cross, this is how he puts it. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That is Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power. God, I think I want to go back to God, Godfrey. Are you following me? No, for it is, come on, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So when the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel, he says the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. In other words, it's not words. It's not theology. It's not philosophy. It's the power. Every time you think about the gospel, you remember this. The gospel is power.
Amen.
And it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I come from a country called Kenya. And I will tell you this. When the missionaries came, there were places and areas where they were allowed to access. And every area that missionaries were denied access, it remained underdeveloped up to this day. Everywhere missionaries were allowed to build churches, those areas have developed, those people have developed, they have been educated, they have advanced, and you can tell there's a difference between areas where the gospel entered and areas where the gospel was, because the gospel is the power. Are you understanding me, friends?
Yes.
It is the power of God that brings transformation inward, outward. Are you with me, friends? But unfortunately, in today's world, the gospel has been turned into arguments philosophically, theologically, but the gospel is essentially power. The word you study, every time you study the word of God, you understand you are meditating on power. Are you with me, friends? This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:1 and 2:5. When I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech, you know, in good English, a lot of English, for I determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. I came in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. Now, somebody nudge your neighbor and tell them this word is power. Godfrey, at least I'm taking your amen. This word is power. Wherever it is preached, it is power. I speak to you because this is your wife. There will come a time she will come not knowing what to do or to say. And you will speak the word and the word will act on her behalf. Because this word is power. This word is power, my brother. This seat. She's here. Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God. We thank God. The gospel is power. Somebody say power.
Power.
In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, Jesus equips his first disciples and then sends them out. In Luke chapter Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. Jesus summoned together his 12 disciples and apostles. If you read it from the TPT, it says, and he imparted to them authority over every demon and the power to heal every disease. Then he commissioned them to proclaim God's kingdom, to heal the sick, and to demonstrate that the kingdom had arrived. He gave them, he bestowed upon them, imparted on them authority. Yeah? And then told them, go and preach. In the process of preaching and healing and curing diseases, you are going to demonstrate. You are going to demonstrate that the kingdom is a kingdom of power. Are you with me? So he sends them away. When you read verse 10, it says, after a few months, the apostles returned from their ministry tour and told Jesus, come on, read with me, people of God. Then they reported to Jesus what they had done. When you read the TPT, it says they reported to Jesus about the wonders and miracles they had witnessed. Why? Because this word, wherever it is preached, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles following. In this house today, there will be signs, wonders following. In this house today, there will be healing before your eyes. There will be restoration before your eyes. There will be transformation before your eyes. Because the gospel is a gospel of power. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 10 verse 1, after sending the 12, then he sends the 72. Luke chapter 10 verse 1, are you there with me? It says, after this, the Lord gathered them and he sends them out. Verse 9 says, after he sends them, verse 9, you are doing a very good job. Verse 9 says, after he had sent them, he gave them this charge. Now, this is the charge he gives them. What does he give them? He heal the sick who are there and tell them that the kingdom of God. Heal the sick and tell them that after you have healed them, tell them, by the way, the kingdom of God has come near you. In other words, what authenticates your message is the miracles, signs, and wonders. Is the power of God. In other words, where there is sickness when you enter and you declare the word of healing, what authenticates your word is the healing of the. Are you understanding me, friends? Where there is demon possession, when you enter and preach the word and there is deliverance, that deliverance authenticates the word that you speak. That this gospel is a gospel of power. Somebody say power. Then in verse 19, after he sends the 72, they come back with a report. And this is what they say. After, when the 72 missionaries returned to Jesus, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. Ooh, look at this. You know, when you've preached and things have happened, you come back with joy. See, part of the reason why there is no joy in the kingdom of God today is because we preach, but there is no performance. There is no change. But where the kingdom is, there's got to be change. They came back because they had seen instant change. Look at what they say. They returned and said, Lord, hey, we didn't even know that even demons submit to us. They submit to us in your. They submit to us in your. Don't forget that in your name. Because as we begin to talk about the dimensions of power, you realize one of the dimensions is delegated authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you understanding me, friends? Yes. They returned and said, even demons submit to us in your name. Those were the apostles. And when they were saying, they were told, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Are you baptized? Are you baptized? Only a few people said yes. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Are you a disciple?
Yes.
So you are a partaker of that promise.
Yes.
That when you go, you can come back and say, ah, Jesus. You can come, when you are sent by Pastor Anderson, you can come back and say, on that part, even demons submit to us.
Yes.
They are submitting to us. They will submit to you.
Yes.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
They submit to us in your name. Go on. Verse 18. Thank you so much. He replied. He's there sat at the throne. The disciples come excited. He says, hey, is that what happened? By the way, when it was happening, I saw Satan. I saw Satan fall down. Why is he falling down? Because at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall. So when they went in the name of Jesus, as they invoked this name of Jesus, Jesus was just watching, like a spectator, a fan of Arsenal watching, Arsenal losing. We are about to score. He was watching and saying, well done, my boys. I saw Satan fall down like lightning from heaven. I saw him fall down like... I saw wolves fall down like... Unfortunately, you will not win the league. I saw Satan falling down like lightning from heaven. Verse 9. Go on. And then he says to them, I have given... I have given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. All, not some, all the power. In other words, as the kingdom of God advances, it is trampling on scorpions and snakes and all other powers of the enemy. And he says, I give you this assurance. Wherever you go in Sheffield, as this kingdom advances, scorpions will have to vacate. Snakes will have to vacate. Are you understanding me, my friends? Babalawos will have to vacate. What Sangomas will have to vacate. And no power of the enemy, nothing will by any means. Nothing. Because you're a power carrier. Amen. And the power is backed from above. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It is not your power. It is the power of God. Are you with me, friends? So as you lay hands on the sick, you know Christ is looking at you and says, go on, you can do it. I see Satan falling down like lightning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
That you may understand this gospel is power. In Luke chapter 10 verse 17, Jesus is preaching the word. And the Bible says many Jewish religious leaders, known as Pharisees, along with many religious scholars, they came from the village of Galilee. These were schooled men who had learned the word. They knew the word. They knew the scriptures. But they came to this man who was not taught in scriptures. But when he taught like one who was the scripture itself. Are you with me? Now, you are still there. I mean, Luke chapter 10. One day, many religious leaders, maybe it's Matthew 10, 17, they came to Jesus, even from Jerusalem, to hear Jesus teach. Now, he's teaching, the Bible says he's healing the paralytic here. The Bible says, and the power of the Lord God surged through him to instantly heal the sick. He was teaching, but even as he was teaching the word, the Bible says the power of God, power surged through him to heal the sick. That's from the TP. Power surged him because every time where two or three gather in his name, he is present. And where he is, power is. So even right now, power is here. You came with a need, power is here. Power to change your circumstance. Power to change your situation. Power for turnarounds. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I've seen you before, isn't it? With the youth team, yeah? You are blessed of the Lord. There is power wherever the word is preached. Are you with me? So as he is preaching, power surged to heal. I say as you are sat next to your neighbor, power is here. Just in you, surging through you to bring healing. May they receive healing. May they receive healing. Come on, nudge them and tell them, may you receive healing. May you receive an answer. May you receive a breakthrough to whatever you are in right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, when the Bible says there was a surge, an instant, when we talk about a surge is an instant, sudden, large increase in something that was previously steady. As he preached the word, suddenly there was an increase in power. As he was teaching, suddenly there was increase in power for him to bring healing to the sick. Are you with me, friends? I see that happening here. Now, how many of you did Christian religious education in high school? You did. How come you did Christian religious education for 2 years and you never got born again? You are in school. You sat under a teacher. She taught the whole Bible for 2 years, but you never got born again. You entered a place and a preacher was preaching and you ran to the front and said, I need to get born again. The difference is this. Power was surging in one environment. Information was surging on the other environment. Where the gospel is preached, power is surging. Right now, there is power surging. Right now, as we speak, right now, as we are here preaching, there is power for every situation. If you are sick, there is power for healing. If you are depressed, there is power for upliftment. If you are discouraged, there is power to revive you. There is power for every circumstance where the word is being preached, where Christ is present. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, and these miracles and signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues, and they will supernaturally be protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now listen to me, my brother, my sister. Power is available for the believer. There is no argument about that. Don't debate arguments. Power is available for the believer. Now, don't go into theological arguments with the devil. You cannot outdo the devil in arguments. The devil understands only one language, power. He understands. Jesus comes on earth and he comes to debate with him. Now, if you are the Son of God, you know, turn this. If you are the Son of, he's debating the theory. You must understand the enemy understands only one thing, power. And if the kingdom is going to advance, there is only one agency that is going to drive the kingdom of darkness, and that is power. Somebody say power.
Power.
Somebody say power.
Power.
There are many dimensions of power, but I will share only one for the sake of time. Help me, the timekeeper, because I see two times, 18 and 11. Which am I on? I've spent 18 or I still have 18? I still have 18. Thank you. Whew. All right. Now, every time I start preaching, time flies. In my church, they call me the everlasting preacher. In John chapter 1, verse 12, verse 11, let's start from verse 11. The Bible says, John writes and says, he came to his own. Come on, read with me. He came to his own. But his own, you know, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But then he adds something else. He says, but to as many, go on, verse 12. Yet, come on, what does it say? Yet, to all, not to some, to all who did receive him, to those when you read it in the New King James, it says he gave them power. He gave them power to become. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the first level of power in the kingdom is delegated power. He gave them power. It has been given. It has been delegated. Every believer who puts his faith in Christ must know this. You have power. Are you with me, friends? Delegated power in the Greek is called exousia. That is power of attorney. This power is born out of knowledge. So the more knowledge you have of the one who delegates the power, the more power you walk in. Let me try it here. You can be adopted from poverty by a millionaire. And the millionaire gives you his surname, but still live in poverty all of your life. Because you need to know for you to walk in the millions. As long as you don't know, you will call yourself by the name of the millionaire. And people who know the millionaire will ask you, when they look at you, they will say, are you the son of so-and-so? The so-and-so who is so-and-so. What they are wondering is, the so-and-so and you, they don't look the same. The reason is simply this, you don't know. And what is it that you don't know? Two things. You don't know who you are, and you don't know what you have. Delegated authority operates to the extent the believer knows who they are and what is available for them. Are you understanding me, friends?
Yes.
When you come into this room, it is pitch dark. It is pitch dark. So what happens is the first thing we do is we switch the light. Soon as we switch the light, now we can see our way. But that's just one level of knowing.
Amen. Amen.
There are many lights that are in operation here. Not just the light. There is this light. There is this light. There is this light. As I was sitting there, I saw this light. I saw some other lights. Now, these lights are not for you to see. These lights give ambience. These lights give feature. My video, the video guy, when you look at me, I will look better. I will look enhanced. I will look enhanced. Now, if you don't know, you will use the camera with these lights. So you will not be enhanced. Yes, we will see you, but we will see a likeness of you that is really not enhanced. But when you put this light, there is an enhancement that beautifies you. It beautifies you before the beholder. We can market you now. You have a semblance of the camera. Are you with me? But before then, you didn't have a semblance that could go online. Are you with me? If you don't know, my people perish for lack of
knowledge.
Now, when these lights, these blue lights are done like that, even when you are saying, here I am to walk, when you open your eyes, there is an ambience. Here I am to bow down. You start bowing down. And it is the effect of the light. Are you understanding? There are others here that are colored. When they hit here, and they mix with those ones here. There's a technology they do. You who is there will say, this is a second heaven. There is a change. Then there is this light that help you to read. Instead of having to flip through your Bible. This is generated from some other power there. But all of these things are predicated upon knowledge. So we have a lot of citizens in the kingdom of God that are operating like paupers, where they have availability. So they know who they are, but they don't know what is available for them. If I need to hear myself, all I need to say, give me some monitor. If you are a stranger to voice, you don't understand what I meant. But there is someone who knows. Because knowledge is important. These ones do not do the same job as these ones. These ones are for you. But there are some here that are for me. I know I can monitor my voice. I know when I'm speaking too loud. I know when I'm speaking too low. But if you don't have the monitors, or they are switched off, or we don't know, I will continue to say, in the name of Jesus. Now, that someone will not be a sermon to you. Because you can hear, but you are hearing within a haze of a shout. But so that we may keep ambience. You can understand me, I can understand you. You place monitors here for me. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, you've been ignorant for too long. Your neighbor could be a policeman. As long as they are in the neighborhood in jeans, they are an ordinary man. Until they put on their uniform. Then they do your car like this. You start shaking. As long as they're in jeans, even though they do this, you say, hey, hi. You think they are saying hello to you. But once they wear that crown and they do your car like this, you stop. Yeah. Are you understanding? Yeah. Why? The difference is what they are wearing. They know who they are. They may be a slender 20-year-old and you are 40-year-old. They will just do like this. You come and stop your trailer there. They are young, and a young boy or a young girl will just do that. You will do what? Because now they are in another office and they know who they are. When they do this, are you understanding me?
Yes.
So we have believers who have been doing this and this and that. Nothing has been happening. All they need to say is, peace be still.
Amen.
Sickness be still.
Amen.
Are you understanding me, friends?
Yes.
You speak it because you know who you are. And you know what is available to you. So there is power that is available to you based on what you know. Are you understanding me, friends? It is one thing to be in this country. It is another thing to be a child of this country. All of you are in this country. But there are things you don't enjoy. If you don't have that blue book or red book, or nowadays it's blue. Before it used to be red. If you don't have that, there are some benefits that will be far from you. But you can also have the blue book or the red book and never know.
Yeah.
That there are benefits that are accessible to you. That when you lose your job, you go to the job center. You may live here and never know. That when you lose your job and you are thrown out, you can go to the social, so the council, they'll provide accommodation for you. You are a child of the kingdom. But if you don't know, you will live in the streets. Not that they don't have accommodation for you, but you don't know. Tell the neighbor one more time, neighbor. The truth you don't know is what eats you up. So in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised, come on, are you seeing that? You are not just saved, you have also been raised up together with him when we believed. And where are you sat? Oh, you're still in 5. And we are sat, I'm on 6. And we are sat, seated up with him in heavenly places because we are in Christ. If he raised Christ from the dead and sat him on his right hand, that is where we are sat. Can I tell you, we have believers who are supposed to be sitting there, but they have vacated their seat and they are sitting here on earth. And they are complaining. Where we are? Why? You are not aware. You are not aware. Are you with me, friends? As you meditate on scripture, let me show you what happens. You see, salvation brings us to a place in Christ to enjoy exousia power or delegated power. Or you are sat. I wish we had scripture time to talk about it. As you meditate on scripture, this is what happens. Every time you meditate on scripture, a light illuminates, and out of that light, power comes. It is power that comes out of you understanding something you did not understand. Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of the word of God brings light. Soon as you have light, then you have understanding of some things. That is why in Matthew chapter 4, he starts by saying, land of Zebulun and Naphtali, a people who have been living in darkness. But when Christ comes and the news of the kingdom comes, those that have been living in darkness, all of a sudden, start to live in light. And as you live in light, the first thing that happens is you begin to walk in a power that you didn't know existed. The power you begin to live in is the power to say no to some things. Amen. You know, that is power by itself, to be able to say no. Yeah. Not to this, not to that. Yeah. Why? Because you know something else. Yeah. Knowledge is power. Amen. This is how I used to walk. This is how I used to behave. But since I met Christ, I know something else. I know a better way. The Bible says the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have been stolen from for too long. I've been destroyed for too long. I've been distracted for too long. But now Christ has come. I know how to stay with what is mine. I know how to retain what is mine. I know how not to waste that which is mine. I have knowledge. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say a better amen.
Amen.
And so you must understand, the more of Christ you know, the more exousia power grows in you. The less and less of Christ you know, the less and less the less and less power you will know. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 is the story of the centurion man. The Bible says he came to speak to Jesus on behalf of his slave. He says, my slave is very sick. Now, I want you to come and heal him. Jesus says, let's go. But then the centurion says, sir, I don't even want you to come with me. I'm not even worthy for you to come. Just speak the word. When you speak the word, I know he will be healed. How do I know? I'm a man under authority. In my authority, I say to one junior to me, go, and they go. Come, and they come. So there is something I know about delegated authority. You who is the King of Kings, all you need is to send a word. I know my servant will be healed because sickness obeys to you.
Amen.
The more you know Christ, the more you walk in power. And Jesus marveled and said, I have not seen such great faith even in Israel. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you learning something?
Yeah.
I cannot go beyond here because it's too much. All I want to tell you is that there are four dimensions in the Bible of knowledge that the Bible talks about. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Hey. Right. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Let me just even illustrate something before I talk a bit about it. You know, Pastor Elias, Deliverance Church in Bakasi. I went in January to Nairobi, and we were staying with Pastor Elias for a few days, and his house. Because where I come from. Let me say where I come from. I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, we have to take security very seriously. So Pastor Elias' house has three gates. There is the outer gate. And then when you come into the compound, there's another gate. And then when you come into the house, there's another gate. So there are three gates for security reasons. Okay. Now, so they were going somewhere, so they left. We say we were not going to go in a hurry, so they left us with the keys. Now, I was the one who received the keys. Mama Nancy, she said to me, here are the keys. This one is to the house door. This one is for this gate. And this one is for that gate. Do you understand? Yes. This one is for the gate. This one is for the inner gate. This one is for the outer court. I tied the three keys and put them aside. And I think we went away. When we came back with a bunch of keys before them, ahead of them. That is when I knew you can have the keys. It is one thing to have the keys. It is another thing to enter the house. It is one thing, Pastor Anderson, it is one thing to have the keys and to know the key. But it is another thing to enter. Now, the outer one, we took about 5 minutes, struggled with it, but then we found our way. Now, the that padlock is, you know, the padlocks like look like this, yeah? That was the one for the out. But when we went to the inner one, the padlock was not the normal padlock. This one looked like a stone like this, you know, a battery like this. You have to put the key from here. Now, I thought the key was you put it from underground, because even those doors, they have some way of safeguarding. So you are opening from inside. You are not just open. You know, here you leave cars open. Like they have to make it very complicated. I didn't know that now I have to put my hand inside, and I thought it was very easy. Now, what I did not know was how to interact with this padlock. Because not every padlock is the same. So this one, you have to put your key like this, and you have to put your hand inside. So it makes it very hard for a thief to come in that place. That one took us 45 minutes, Maruti, to open that one. Because we were not used to, because when you deal with this one, you know how to bend your hand. There's also a way you bend your hand. There's a way you pull you. I didn't know that. I only thought you just put the key, it opens. When we went to the innermost, the house now, we didn't even enter. We stayed outside until they came. Because instead of unlocking, we locked the door. And when we locked, it didn't open. Somebody say knowledge. Knowledge is very important. What you don't know will kill you. Are you with me? Yeah. Knowledge is very important. So power is accessible to us, but we don't walk in power. So we are limited in advancing the kingdom. Not because it is not available, but we don't know. The first level of knowledge that the Bible gives us is called gnosis knowledge, or it is what you call elementary visual, and you can comprehend, you can understand this knowledge. What do you call that knowledge that you understand? It is called factual knowledge. You can understand it, right? You can understand, and the Bible is full of this factual knowledge. You can understand the facts. In this world, we have facts, we can understand them. We know a child is born this way, they gestate and they develop this way. After 9 months, we have the facts. So the Bible says that in John chapter 6, that after preaching, Jesus said to Philip, "These people, they have been with us for 2 or 3 days. They need something to eat. Get them something to eat." Hey, Philip looked at the people, began to count factually, and did some quick mathematics. Then he went to the master and said, "Master, these people, even if we work for 8 months and work overtime and work extra overtime, we cannot feed them." But the scripture says Jesus asked him to do that just to test them, but he knew where the bread was coming from. What was he testing? He was testing whether they had understood the source of power. But they were still operating in factual level knowledge. Now, factual level knowledge is important, but it is limited. It is limited because there are things it cannot move. There are mountains it cannot repair. There are things that it cannot shake about. But it is important because it can authenticate. Because you notice, when Jesus, another one called Andrew said, "I've had the conversation, but here is a boy. He has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But even when I make an assessment, they're not enough." That is why when we are doing the ministry, work of ministry, you have to be very careful who you are listening to. They are not enough. The same 5 loaves, 2 fish that were not enough, he took them, and gave thanks and multiplied them and fed them. Now, here is why factual knowledge is important. He said to them, hey, guys, the power has worked. Now, you do the work of putting them in groups of 50. Yeah. Groups of 50 and feed them. They did that. They fed them. So it is good because it helps us to make sure work is in order. You see, we have put chairs here. There's someone who makes sure that everything works. But there is a power behind all that we see. After they had fed them, there were 12 more baskets that remained. And they were told, pick them up one by one and put them in baskets. So factual knowledge is important. But it will not tell you all about power. It helps you prove there is power. It will help you understand there is power. Shall we rise up on our feet? We will even continue some other time when God touches Pastor Anderson. amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
In this house today, healing power is available.
Yes.
Transformative power is available. In this house today, saving grace is available. Restoration grace is available. And I don't know what you have been believing God for, but I want to tell you, the power of God is present in this house. And so for 1 minute or 2 minutes, I want you just to open up your mouth. Just worship Him. Just thank Him. I don't know where you are, but I want you to know He is here with us. And all it takes is for you to know. That is the first basic level of operating the grace power of God. That He is here with us today. That He is present here with us. He has said in His word, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He shall be. So according to that word, if we put our belief in it, He is here with us. He was a man accredited with signs and wonders. And wherever he went healing and doing good things. He is here to do good. He is here tonight to bring healing. He is here to restore marriages, to restore families, to reconcile fathers and sons, mothers